Let me give thanks anyway to our Lord. Lord Jesus, we're very grateful for your attendance here, Lord. There's quite a few away this afternoon for whatever reason. Just bless them. Bless those that listen in at their time of listening. And we praise your holy name and so very grateful for what you have provided. We thank you for the fellowship and the food that you provided at in our hall, Lord, and that was great. Just be with us this afternoon, Lord, as we have this service, and also for the communion service to honor what you've done for us at the cross of Calvary. Amen and amen. Let's sing number 38, Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near.
Seek ye the Lord.
There's a river of life flowing out from me.
The river of life flowing out from me makes a lane to walk and a blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets a captive
out from me.
309, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. Then after that, if there's any testimonies, we'd like to hear from you. Sister Bill. Thanks, Brother Brian.
Well, it's not a testimony, but I was walking through the botanical gardens on Thursday to a group I go to, and there was a man, a young man, with the by a car, and the hood was up, and he had some parts of it out and he just looked quite concerned, and I walked on past and the Lord just said, go pray for him. And I thought, no, go pray for him. And about the fourth time I thought, okay. So I turned around and went back and I just prayed for this young man and the car and just left. So it's in the Lord's hands. And then later on in the afternoon I was paying for the fuel for the car, and I said to the lady, do you get much many people getting angry at you about the high petrol price? She said, oh, and she blasphemed, and I just said, oh, please don't blaspheme. And she said, oh, I'm sorry. So she didn't really know what she was saying until I mentioned it, but I just really had to speak out about it. So I thank the Lord that I had courage to do that and to pray for the young man. So he's in the Lord's hands. They both are.
Because that's what it takes. You know, both those people, as she mentioned, the married man with a car and the petrol lady, they could just go and think, oh, someone told me off or somebody prayed for me. It could be down the track. There's somebody else add to it. And we should take those opportunities. So just to be open about what we know to be true. Any others? Brother Peter.
Thanks, Brian. Thank you for praying for Bubs and I this last week. I shared something of our situation with Howard and June. But, you know, that message this morning on faith, it's still touching me. And we're hanging on to faith. We're hanging on to the Lord. But we do really value your prayers and love you for it. I was thinking as I was praying there, I thought, I've come from churches that maybe have 100 or 200 people there and a full band playing and all the trimmings. But I feel blessed here. I feel blessed. Amen.
That's the Lord doing that too. If you feel blessed, you can really appreciate what he's doing for you. Do we have any others? Sister June?
I've just been really encouraged reading a book this week I started about the life of Willie Mullen in Ireland. He's telling his own story. And it was a real encouragement to me because this young lad was brought up in a big family and very poor in those days. But his mother, I can't remember what happened to his father, but his mother was a real godly Christian woman, and she would pray for all her children, and when she prayed for Willie, she'd pray that he would become a preacher. And I mean, he used to run away instead of going to Sunday school. He'd do other things with other kids and that, and he didn't seem really interested. And then when he was a young man, his mother died, and I can't go into it all, but none of the other family members wanted to take him in. He heard them talking behind his back, and so he ran away, and eventually he became a tramp, real scruffy, and he got into drinking this hard sort of liquor, and every time he could get money he would drink it and get really drunk, and he eventually got caught up with a band of really bad men and thieves and all sorts of things. Anyway, one day they sent him out on a job of thieving, a really lucrative, you know, crime it was going to be for them. And so he went out to spy out how they could pull out this plan, you know, put it into practice. And he said he was walking across a dry field. He was in his 20s. And all of a sudden he heard the Lord speaking to him. He said it was in his mind, but it was really strong. And I can't remember what he said, but the Lord spoke to him, and I forget what he said now, but Willie was reasoning with it and said, if you send me to the lowest hell, you'd be just. I'm just not good enough, you know. You couldn't love me. And the Lord said, I love you. And I died for you, or something like that. And there in the field, Willie Mullen knelt and gave his life to the Lord. And he said, he got up and he knew that something real had happened in his life. And anyway, the enemy got on top of it and started saying, but you won't be able to walk past a hotel or a pub and not go in. And the Lord came on top of that and gave him that he had no desire to drink. He had become really saved, and he went around looking for churches the next Sunday, and the people just looked at him because he was dressed so scruffily and smelly and everything, and they were really done up nicely. Eventually he found a church where actually he'd been once, because a man had invited him, and at the time he thought the preacher was just a nut. He went into this church and he felt so much at home, he thought, this is what I'm wanting. And a lady gave him a Bible, and the Lord was really looking after him. And then he knew he had to go back to this den of thieves to tell them that he wasn't going to be working for them anymore. I think he did this before he went to church. But anyway, he knew that every one of them was armed. They were violent men. And the biggest one of them all, he wasn't to be reckoned with, because he said he was really as big as a door and and really strong. And so who should meet him when he was going down the alley to this place was this man. And he thought, first of all, he'd had a knife. And he thought, at least I've got my knife in my pocket. And the Lord said, this is not your battle, Willie. This is my battle. And he'd thrown it into the river. And so anyway, he met this big man and he said to him, Paddy, I think it was, I have become a Christian and I can't do this anymore. And he said, he had his head down while he told him, and he looked up and the man had tears in his eyes, and he said, it's all right, son, I wish I could be like that, or I wish I could be one too, or something. And he said, you come with me. And that man went back to the room where the bad men were, and he said, well, he's not working for us anymore, but everyone out. Get out of this place. Because it was really Willie's little place where he could stay. And he got them all out. So Willie was able to talk to the Lord in there. And I know that he did become a preacher. But why I'm saying is, it was encouraging. Even though the mother was dead, her prayer was answered.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, June. It's really encouraging to hear that kind of testimony. You know, you just don't know how to fix other people. And even what Barbara spoke today about those two people, one a married man and one a European lady. Well, wouldn't use the name of the Lord's in vain name, but she doesn't know at this point. But there comes a time they may remember the occasion and it could change their life. See, what Christians do at that time, actually make a move to declare that they are a daughter or a son of God, and they can be affected, maybe not at that moment, but if they didn't know that at all, they may never get that call. So it's really encouraging to take the chance, take the opportunity, and mention about the Lord. Any others? Okay, thank you, Brian. I've got one more here then, Brother, how it'll come. If I'm just not sure how it starts off, but it's a lovely hymn, The Storm Passes Over, in the chorus, In the Dark of the Midnight. Do you know that, Howard, to start that one? Because I'm not sure myself till we get going. Of the midnight. Yep, that's it. In the dark of the midnight. you know what? He will keep you safe till the storm passes by. He's got the whole of the future for eternity to care for, and he starts right here where you are. Thank you, Howard.
Thank you, Lord. Who believes that? He is. He's with us. I had a terrible thought, but I'll say it. I was just thinking when I came in, I saw how many here, and I thought, that's probably how many have been in the rapture. Don't miss a meeting. When you miss a meeting, you may miss a very important time. We make all excuses in the world, but brother and sister, we can't do that. This late hour is late, very late. And I want to be here when he comes. The Bible says, may the Lord find us doing when he comes. So that's my thought. But I believe he's got truth to it. Praise the Lord. Who loves the Lord? We're going to turn our Bibles now before we come to the communion table to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him. What we need is the fear of the Lord in our midst. That's what we need. And delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. May God bless the reading of his precious word. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your precious word. We pray, Lord, that you're quickened to every heart here. And those joining with us, Lord, may they also enter in to the blessings of God. Lord, for your word is true and it shall always come to pass. We love you, Lord. We're looking forward to your coming. We want to be ready for that hour, Lord. Just help us all to be more consecrated to thee, more given over to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've entitled this message, Blessed is the Man. Now, I could say, Blessed is the Man, part one, because I've actually got another message to follow it. It won't be today, but some other time when I get back, Lord willing. Blessed is the Man, because there's so many cases of Blessed be the Man. And we'll find out why a man is blessed. Why is he blessed? And the first one we came here is, Blessed is the Man that trusteth in him. You are blessed the moment you trust in the Lord. That's right, Brother Peter. Isn't that wonderful? Just got to learn to trust him. How often do we think we are hard done by? You know, I know I used to think that, and I've got to watch. I don't think it again. We feel that we're the only ones suffering, and we are suffering more than others. And we get these thoughts coming to our head. Or we are so unhappy and lonely. But the truth is, we're missing something God has for us. We have missed the mark somewhere. So many Christians are living well below their privileges. And there's a very good reason for this, I believe. We're not lay holding on the infallible promises of God's word. Blessed is the man, is mentioned in the Bible many, many times, trust me. And each time it carries a wonderful promise. You look up all the blessed be the mans. If you've got a computer, you could search on that. Blessed be the man. To those who acknowledge and do as God has asked us to do, a bit like what we said this morning, he wants us to ask. It's very encouraging to study the word of God. And to see what God will bestow upon every person as they act upon the word with all their heart. So the word of God is like a great treasure chest. Not a dust collector on your desk. The treasure chest. The word of God is a treasure chest. And if you believe it, you can make it do things for you that you wouldn't believe. So blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. This promise is foundational to all others, I believe. We must be very careful to notice that this statement is, thus saith the Lord. This is what God said, not what I said or anyone else says. If we want to be blessed of God, just do what he says. We said this morning, Matthew 7:24, it says this, wherefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. God will always see to it that his blessings will be carried out upon each person that trusts in the Lord. Who wants to trust in the Lord today? We're going to trust him all the way. The direct Hebrew translation of the word trust is this. It means to flee for protection, to confide in, have hope, and make him your refuge. That's what trust does. So it's a very powerful word. We each are tremendously blessed when we trust only in God. For our protection, we only go to him. We do not trust in man, but only in God. Brothers and sisters, don't trust in man. It'll never work. You'll never get what you're looking for. In fact, it has the opposite when you trust in man instead of trusting God. Trusting in man carries a curse with it. Truly. That is to trust in man. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Cursed. And maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. See, when you start trusting in man, you're departing from the Lord. That's a sure sign that something's not right. Now that statement is just as much as thus saith the Lord, where the first one was. As the first blessing, trusting in the Lord, making the flesh, which is the strength of men, our dependence. It is the curse the moment we do it. Man can do nothing for you at the end of the day. It takes the Lord to sustain us. Who believes this? That's what he said. It takes the Lord to sustain us. We need to always flee to him. Let's turn to Psalm 146, which says, verse 3, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goes forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Trusting in the Lord is really faith in the Lord. And the reason we trust him is because we love him. You love the Lord? Then you can afford to trust in him. By nature, we tend to turn down our own human reasoning. We turn to our own human reasoning. And contrary to what God has instructed us to do, his favorite scripture of my father, he had the scripture in his caravan for many years, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. I truly believe is an exercise we need to do each day. Is true our faith or trust needs to be exercised. Our faith and trust need to be exercised. Like we said this morning about faith needs to be activated. Otherwise, it's just a theory. We go around stumbling around, battling everything out, and not even turning to God. Do you believe? Oh, yes, I believe in God. Oh, now what am I going to do here? Brothers and sisters, God can use men. There's no question God can use men. But it's not trust in man, it's trust in God who uses men. Who believes that? When Brother Lee had his operation, cutting into his brain, he didn't trust the doctors, he trusted the God guiding him. That's how it's got to be. So let's just look to the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. I truly believe it's an exercise we need to do every day. Their faith and trust in God. In James 2, verse 17, we read, even so faith, or as we say, trust, if it hath not works, that is exercising our faith, exercising it. You've got muscles in your body, but if you don't exercise them, you won't be able to walk soon. You've got to exercise. Even though you've got muscles, they need to be exercised. You can have faith, but it needs to be exercised. He said it's dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith by my... No, sorry, show me... I've got to watch it, don't jump from here to there. Little screen, I get out of sync. It says, show me thee thy faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. You have all the faith you say you got, but you're not even using it. In Matthew 14:25, Jesus often exercised people to trust him. Let's read this. Matthew 14:25. And on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now watch this. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come onto the water. Come to thee on the water. I want to say this. Peter was not expecting this answer. And he said, come. You can make a faith statement. Then you've got to put it into action. Lord, bid me to come on the water. And then the Lord said, come on, Peter, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. God bless him. We know he stumbled and fell on the way, but he was preserved by the Lord because he trusted him. In John 9:7, the same thing with the blind man. He said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way and washed and came seeing. Now Jesus could have just healed him. He could have, like did many others. But he said, go and wash. Now, you know what happened? If he didn't wash, he would be still blind. But he had to do what the Word of God says to do. What I'm trying to encourage us all to do is put our faith into action. Go and do what the Word of God says. You say, but how? Just do it. Don't not how. Just do it. And he came seeing. We've been asked to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Mark 16:18. How can we be healed if we do not ask for prayer? I said that this morning. In James 5:14. If any man any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Who believes that? Say amen. Who believes that? Say amen. Oh, wow. Don't do that on me, please. Whew. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Isn't that wonderful? If we'd put our trust in God, we will do as he asks us to do. If we have an important decision to make, what should we do? Do we seek the counsel of worldly men? Seriously, think about it. Who do you go to? Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man again. What's our subject? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Doesn't be amongst them getting their advice. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, doesn't go amongst them. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Or do we first go to the Lord and ask of God? Let's read James 1:5. My father always used to read this to me when I went back to school because he knew I wasn't very bright. So he always turned to the scripture. I knew he was going to read it to me. Now, I must admit I didn't have too much faith back then. If any man, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that he giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. In Psalm 118, verse 8, we read this, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Now, brother and sister, if we really believe what's been said, we'll apply this to our hearts and do it. There are many, many scriptures which confirm all that we have said this afternoon. Blessed is the man that puts his trust in the Lord. Some will say, I do not have much faith. Well, we went through that this morning. We do not need a lot of faith. We just need faith, even though it be a little faith, like a mustard seed, we said. Put into action what God has given you. To every man is given the measure of faith. As Brother Peter brought out at the door, appropriate faith to every man. God's given you enough faith to get you through. Amen. Blessed is the man that puts his trust in God. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. They are blessed too. My, what a glorious blessing this is. Let's read the scripture in Romans 4:6. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Beautiful. Gave us righteousness. We didn't even earn it. We couldn't anyway. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, brothers and sisters, I really recommend, you want a Bible study? Start looking up in your concordances. Blessed is the man. You will see there is a wonderful promise that goes with each one. And this is a wonderful one. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Hallelujah. Who loves him? Praise be to God. I want to read when we when we're blessed, and we are blessed, and we are blessed, that God has not charged us for our sins. I want to read this Romans 4:7 from the Amplified Bible. Blessed and happy and to be envied are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered up, completely buried. Blessed and happy and to be envied is the person of whose sin the Lord will take no account or reckon it against him. I love those scriptures. Though the scriptures you can take to bed with you. You can take them to your grave. Brother and sister, hold on to God's word. Our real blessing is not that we have a lot of money, or that we have a new car, or that we have a new home, or whatever. That's not your blessings. They can be your cursing, actually. But that our sins have been forgiven, and our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When were they written there? Before the foundation of the world. Before you even came, they were written in the book. Hallelujah! Isn't that wonderful? Thank you, Lord. Even if we are gifted, used of God, and all these good things, the greatest blessing is to know that our names are in heaven. You know what Jesus said to the disciples in Luke 10:20? Notwithstanding, he's saying to the disciples, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And Jesus said in regard to physical blessings in Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What would you give for an exchange for your soul? It's terrible when you think about it. There's nothing you can give. How blessed we are when we confess our sins. We've quoted that scripture this morning in John, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from most unrighteousness. No, that's right, Shirley. You're right, going like that. All unrighteousness. When we get down to pray, we come into his presence under the blood of Jesus Christ with no condemnation. Praise the Lord. Who's glad to be free? I'm free. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman to whom God has not charged to them their sin. But somebody was charged. Yeah. And that was our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. He took all our sin upon his precious body. He was charged badly. How we should love him and serve him today. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not sin. There are plenty of people who would impute sin on us. They would, straight away. But not those who trust in the Lord for his mercy. We trust him to not impute sin unto us. There were people in the Bible who were quick to condemn, but not our Lord. He came to save. Remember the lady he found in adultery? You can see that in John 8:3. You see there that they dragged her before the Lord, set it in the midst and said, what shall we do to her? Master, this woman was taken in adultery, the very act. You got that there, Brother Paul? Oh, sorry. It's John 8:3. It should be up on the list. The scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. See, now, you can imagine the position Jesus was in here. Great wisdom. Great wisdom he had. But what sayest thou, Lord? This they said, tempting him, that they might have a cause, they may have accused him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground, as though he had not heard them, had heard them not. So then they continued asking. He lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. What great wisdom. What would have you done? Oh yes, that's scriptural. Go ahead, brothers. Not our Lord. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Then Jesus lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman. He said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee, and sin no more. You see, he never condemned her, but he said, don't go and sin either. See the responsibility we have. How grateful that woman was that day to know that her sins were not imputed against her. We're no different from her, brother and sister. We're no different. There are none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And blessed is the man and the woman to whom the law will not impute sin. So let us not to forget today that we are truly blessed to be able to trust in him and to know that he has not charged us with our sins. Who's glad? Say amen. Amen. He has not charged you with your sins. You should have been sent to hell. But he willingly charged himself on your behalf that we may be reconciled back to him forever. Don't you love him? I love him with all my heart. Shall we just stand for prayer, brothers and sisters? Lord Jesus, we come to thee this afternoon, Lord. And you said, blessed is the man whom the law will not impute sin. We are very blessed because there's nothing we could do to save ourselves. We would go down the chute with all the rest. But Lord, you saved us. You haven't imputed sin unto us. Not because we deserved it, no, Lord, because you loved us. I just pray, Lord, this afternoon that our hearts will be challenged to lift you up and to praise you and to thank you for all that you have done for us. Lord, we just commit ourselves to you this afternoon, and with grateful hearts we praise you and glorify you. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. We're very grateful for that, Lord. Lord, we just love you. We praise you. Amen. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. As we come around the table, let's just sing that again. What can make me white as snow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord and his mercy. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of... Just come around, brothers and sisters. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No. What a privilege to remember the time that Jesus did it for us. He gave us this table that we can remember him. Brother Lee, would you like to ask the Lord just to bless us?
Thank you. Jesus, we do ask you to bless this emblems of what you did for us.
Amen, Lord.
We know it's deep in our hearts. We know it's the truth.
Hallelujah. Yes, amen. And remembrance of
And we're so very grateful, Lord, and we're happy to be associated with it.
Yes, Lord.
Stand by the name of Jesus for what you did for us.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, we ask. Amen.
Just going to read this here. And when he had given thanks, the Lord, he broke it and said, take it. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup. When he had given thanks,
And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh damnation, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And that means to pray one for another. So, brothers and sisters, we are very privileged to take this table in remembrance of what he's done for us. He has not imputed sin on us because he took it upon himself. And that's exactly what we're remembering. So let's have a few moments to examine our own hearts. The Bible says to examine our own hearts and ask the Lord to forgive us for those things that have been displeasing to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, as we come around this table of life, we realize, Lord, it represents our life, our redemption. Lord, we just thank you for giving each one of us of our trespasses and sins. Lord, we claim the blood of Jesus right now upon our bodies, upon our souls. You'll forgive us, Lord, for the things we've done that have been displeasing to you. Lord, we just thank you for your body which was broken for us, Lord. By your stripes we were healed. Lord, we just thank you for the redeeming grace of our Lord. And the precious blood that ran has given us eternal life that will never die. Lord, this is a great message to the church, great message to the world if we can receive it. So, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity. And as we partake, we pray, Lord, you'll speak to every heart. Commit this word to you, Lord. We commit this time to you, for this indeed is your table, Lord. Table of remembrance. We give it to you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. I ask that you bless every heart in Jesus' name. Amen. To brothers and sisters, you partake, say thank you, Lord. By your stripes, I was healed and receive it right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. All the blood of Jesus. Let's sing that one.
All the blood of Jesus, precious blood of Jesus. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. What a glorious gospel, Lord. What a blessedness to have this table, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. King G.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
On our return. God bless you all.
Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood.